like to welcome you all this evening in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is truly a privilege to be able to preside over.
Bring your mic on.
Thank you, Dan.
There you go.
It is truly a privilege to preside over such a service, to be able to participate in a service where we get to see how our Lord and Savior is working with our youth. I'm sure there's hundreds of more testimonies that have come out of these camps that we'll not be able to share with tonight, but it's very exciting to be able to share this with our youth. I've got a scripture I'd like to read. It's Alma 17, starting in verse 66. Preach unto them repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to humble themselves and to be meek and lowly in heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil with their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to never be weary of good works, but to be meek and lowly in heart. For such shall find rest to their souls. O, remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, and to cry unto God for all thy support. And that's kind of where this is at tonight. We're hoping that these young men with their testimonies and the things they experienced at camp have learned those lessons to seek the Lord and to rely on Him. And, you know, one thing as a father, I pray often that my children have experiences with God, that they have a foundation that begins to be formed, whether it's at church camp or just in their everyday lives. You know, I pray almost daily that my children have personal experiences with Jesus Christ and with the Lord, their God, that they can build that foundation so they can rely on that as they get older. And I hope my children have experienced that. And I hope these young men and young lady that's going to be sharing tonight will also continue to have those testimonies that they can rely on. We're going to open this evening with hymn number 32. And then afterwards, Gary Joe is going to open us with a prayer.
Would you all bow with me? Our Father, Lord, I want to thank you for this day and thank you for letting us be here and thank my family and friends, and I ask that your spirit be with us now and that we share what you want us to share. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Real quick, so everybody knows what's going on tonight. These gentlemen up here are going to share some testimonies they have. After each testimony sharing, Destiny and Samantha's going to lead us in one or two camp songs, and then we'll just proceed on with testimonies. And because of, I do feel it is very important that we're, our youth, how important our youth is to our church movement, I've asked our Pastor Dan to offer a special prayer for the youth of our church.
Our Almighty and Eternal Father, it is with joy in our hearts we have this opportunity to gather as a group of thy people even this night, and to worship thee and to praise thee, and together in the name of thy Son. And Father, we do so with great expectation of hearing these testimonies and experiences that you have shared with these young people. And Father, we would pray that these testimonies may only be a beginning, that they may have continual testimonies throughout their life of your goodness and your mercy, and those times you reached out and touched their lives in miraculous ways. Father, we know that there are many challenges that face not only adults, but especially the youth of this day in which we live. The adversary is raging, and he's placing before them temptations that are beyond our comprehension. And we know that it's through the power of your Spirit that they're able to resist these temptations and to make those decisions that would keep them in that straight and narrow path, even that old path which we so fondly sing of. And Father, I would pray that you would help them to be strong and steadfast in their sharing not only their testimonies this night, but in the days ahead with those they come in contact with, whether it be their fellow classmates or people they work with or even their families, that you would bless them from on high, Father, that they may have that firm and unshakable faith, that they may be able to face the challenges that are before us with a great faith to where they may be able to withstand the enticings and temptations of the adversary. Father, we know that time is short, and we know that they're not just the church of tomorrow, but they are of the church of today, and they're a vital part of your work that is to go forth in great power, and I would pray that you would magnify even their callings as youth in thy church, that you would bless them from on high, that they might bear that positive and reassuring testimony that truly there is a God who is mindful of our needs and who will bless us in our time of need. And Father, we just thank you and praise you for their dedication in their lives, and pray your continued blessing upon them in Jesus' name. Amen.
For those who don't know me, my name is Joe Hiller, and I'll be sharing an experience that happened to me at camp. Let's see here. During the course of my life, I've got caught up in, with certain people who, haven't been the greatest influence on my life. And I mean, I've had these guys on my high school, so they've kind of helped. But I've kind of rubbed off on them and kind of influenced them not to do the right things either. At camp, I didn't really want to go this year, and I was kind of just tempted to stay home, but my mom already paid for it and everything, so I was like, all right, I might as well be going anyways. So I just had the mindset I was just going to camp just to have fun, just chill with my guys, and just not really try to change or anything, because I was content with how things were in my life. So on the way down, we wasn't a really good trip down. I mean, it was a good trip, but just the spirit we had with us and we brought down was not of a good one, and we were just, we were not definitely going to camp with the right set of mind. To share with you some of the things that I've got involved with, and it was really heavy this past year. I got caught up with smoking. I did some drinking, and I also started chewing. And chewing was more of the bigger of the habits than anything else. And on the way down, actually had a can, because we stopped at a gas station. And I was just going to leave it there till after camp, we'll just get through camp and just go back to the things I've done before. Well, Wednesday night came around, and there's a talent show that they have, and it was going pretty good, and towards the end, I was getting a little bit more serious, and the caravan group sang a song, and for some reason, that song just really hit me, and I was getting really emotional, and just kind of, it's like, why is this happening, and I tried holding it off, but afterwards, one of my friends came up to me and started talking, and he was like, I'm ready to change, man. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to stop doing those things, and I was like, you know what, I respect you for that just because we're friends and I respect any decision you make, but I told him I wasn't ready and that wasn't for me right now. Well, during the campfire, just the spirit was just tugging at me and I was trying to fight it, but I was just sitting there and when I was overtaken, I started crying and I just buried my face in my hands and I just was fighting with myself if I should give up those things that I've been doing or if I, you know, should keep doing them. And I was thinking the whole time and at the time I didn't know it, but he was praying for me along with another friend who was sitting next to me and they both were praying for me and then afterwards, after the campfire, one of my friends came up to me and he was like, I just want you to know that God loves you and he's here for you and he needs you to be an instrument in his church. And then after that, another kid came up and he shared similar things. And a few more guys after that came up and they all basically had the same common theme, you know, God loves you and he knows he's here for you. And then Jonah came up afterwards and he pretty much was the one who topped it off, and he told me that, you know, God is really wanting to use you. You just gotta let him in, and that was pretty cool. And that kind of where it all started. And you know, that night I was filled with joy, and I was like, you know what, I need to give up those things. Well, the next night was Thursday, and we got through. There's a cardboard box testimonies, and I don't know if you know what that is, but it's where some of the kids, where you write down basically an experience in your life and how God helped change that, and it's written. So we were sitting there, and every one of my friends but one was getting up and all going up there, and so was the rest of the camp just having something to share. And I was just sitting there thinking to myself, why don't I have anything to share? Why am I sitting here? And it's kind of getting down on myself. And my friend who was sitting across from me, he kind of looked over and asked if I was okay. I was like, yeah. But I was just sitting there thinking really deeply. And then all of a sudden he got up because he was having struggles. And I saw him get up and the rest of my friends run after him. So I was like, oh. So I ran after him too. And then I realized, you know, I needed to give up those things. So everybody else went back afterwards. We comforted him and I went up to the van, and he was walking after me too. He's like saying we need to change this stuff like that, and I was like, I know we do. And so I went in the van, I took out the can, I chucked it into the woods, and then we were kind of talking. I was like, yeah, dude, we got to change, you know. And then I went back, and on the way back, I was like, you know, God, my life's yours. I'm gonna give up those things that aren't pleasing to you, and I give my life over to you. Well, later on that night, after campfire and everything, they had a special activity for us, and it was a wedding feast. And you know, God's gonna come, and we don't know when he's gonna come, and we have to be prepared. And so that was a surprise to all of us. And you know, they gave us a picture of Jesus earlier on during the camp to have us hold on to. And I didn't have mine. I didn't have my name tag either. So when it was my turn to get up there, and they're asking, whose name do you bear? And I didn't have a name tag, and I was like, oh, man. So I went back, and so there's a group of us outside on the basketball court, just kind of all huddled around. There's everybody was singing and stuff, and I was just thinking to myself, just, you know, I was like, man, this is horrible. I can't believe I'm not in there, you know. I was really sad, and it really hit me hard, and it made me realize that, you know, if you don't change the things that that's holding you down and keeping you from coming closer to him, then you're going to be standing outside the kingdom when he does come. And I mean, yeah, this camp, and it wasn't the real thing, but just the symbolism there and how I wasn't be able to have entrance in, it just really hit me. And not really, like, it just made me decide that I needed to change the things in my life that were holding me down. And I mean, it was a great experience, and I've changed from it, and he's blessed me wonderfully. He gave me these guys that will share also, and he's just made, I don't know, my life's so much better, and it's going a lot better now that I've changed those things.
Thank Hello, good evening. My name is Josh Metzger, and I got the opportunity to go to mountain camp this summer. And on my way there, it was a pretty long drive, so spent the whole time sleeping, not really getting excited to go to be in the mountains for a week and be miserable, waking up cold and going to sleep cold. So one of the nights, it was after a talent show. We were all getting ready to go to bed, and it was pretty calm outside, and nothing was going on. And as soon as we're all gonna go to sleep, all of a sudden winds start blowing, and then rain starts coming. And pretty soon, it's starting to shake the tent a little bit. And on the other side of the campground, the girls' tent had collapsed. And they came over to our tent asking for our counselors so they could help fix it. And we're like, okay, I think we can handle this. And so they go, and while they're gone, our tent collapsed. And so on one of the sides, Jordan Brotherton had held it, and then everybody else was starting to get all riled up and don't know what to do, so they start holding the tent down too. And in the midst of all this, someone had suggested that we should say a prayer. And so we selected, or James Tandy offered to say that prayer. And not even 2 seconds later, everything was calm, as if nothing ever happened. And after that, usually after God answers your prayer, you usually say a prayer of thanks. And so somebody offered that one too. And the next morning, the girls had asked us if we had prayed. And without knowing, they had prayed at the exact same time that we had. And I thought that was a really cool blessing. So, and it was a good experience after that.
Mr. Metzger, Ms. Gonger, because they taught us in school. We're a rough bunch. We like having fun, and our fun sometimes ends up not being the right kind of fun, and we sometimes don't leave the legacy that we don't act our age. And we've had many testimonies happen in our lives, me especially. I mean, I came here, I've been through lots of stuff when I was back in Kenya, And so I know lots of stuff about God. My parents tell me about it all the time. And my testimony really is about Mammoth Camp. We're going to Mammoth Camp on Sunday. And while going to Mammoth Camp, we really didn't have a right mindset. On the way down there, we started listening to good music. I remember listening to Christian music, and it gradually changed. We're listening to not appropriate music. We're not talking appropriately. The language we were using was not right. And we're just saying stuff. And we stopped at Walmart, I think. And I was talking to some of my friends, and I was like, hey, dude, this time I'm just going to go to Mammoth Camp. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to hang out with you guys. But I'm really not going to be up looking for the spiritual things. And I talked about it, and they're like, yeah, dude, I know what you mean. Because in the previous years, we went to Mammoth Camp, and we felt the spirit, and we're like, we're going to change. But once we got out of Mammoth Camp, or once we got out of camp and came back to our lives, we just went back to doing what we always did. And so this year, I was determined that I was not going to change. I was just going to live my life. I want to live my life and just go to Mammoth Camp, have fun with the guys. And yeah, so we get there on Sunday, and I sign up for my classes. Monday goes by, do all that stuff. Tuesday goes by, do all that stuff. And then Wednesday comes, and it's a talent show, and I'm having fun. We did a goofy thing. I'm having fun, and then it starts getting the serious part in the skits. And I could see people crying whenever people were singing, but I was like, oh, people are crying. Oh, my gosh, this is not right. Well, it's not a big deal. I'm not crying. So I really didn't pay that much attention to it. And after the talent show, we're outside having snacks before campfire, and I saw two of my friends going to decide to talk, and I kind of knew they were going to talk about changing, but I really didn't want to think about that because we talked about this, and I really didn't expect them to do this right now, so I was like, yeah, they're really not going to talk about it. So we went to campfire, and I was sitting next to three of my friends, Joe, Josh, and Aaron, and I'm sitting there, I'm not into the campfire mode. I'm daydreaming about other stuff, what I'm going to do when I get home, what I'm going to eat. And I'm just sitting there, and I hear this little sniffles, and I look to my left, and all three of them are on their hands, and they're crying. I'm like, no, no, this is not happening. We talked about this. This is not supposed to happen. But I didn't say anything, so I just sat there, and I awkwardly put my hand around my friend. I was like, it's going to be okay. But inside, I was like, no, it's not going to be okay because we talked about this. And I look around, and most of my friends were kind of tearing up, all except Gary. So that kind of made me feel good. I was like, hey, at least I'm not alone in this. This is pretty good. So campfire went on, and we stood up and started singing. And as we were singing, the spirit started filling the place. And I started feeling the spirit tug on me, and this past year has been kind of hard on me. I prayed to God, and he really didn't answer, so I thought he wasn't there for me, so I lost touch with God. I really didn't care about God. I believe he didn't care about me, and he didn't want anything to do with me. So once I felt the spirit tug on me, I picked up my stuff, and I started walking out, and I was originally going to go to bed. And so I'm walking into the cabins, and I hear footsteps behind me, and I turn around, and it's Micah and Mr. Hillard. And I keep walking for a little while, and Micah grabs hold of my hand, and he looks at me in the eye and is like, Dean, how long are you going to keep running? And I didn't know what to say. I didn't want to cry, but I really didn't cry at that moment. But I just stood there, and I turned around, and I saw the exit, and I wanted to run away. I didn't know where I was going to go, but I just know I didn't want to be there. I just wanted to leave. And so there's a baseball field up there next to the guys' cabin, so I kind of made my way over there, and I started crying, and Michael looked at me, and he told me that God really did love me, and he did care about me, and that made me more mad, because where was God when I cried out to him, and he didn't answer to me? So I started yelling at Micah, and I started hitting Micah and punching Micah and punched a couple of trees around me, and telling Micah that God really didn't care about me and I was just an insignificant little dust speck that he really doesn't even care about and doesn't know I exist. And Micah was there, he just stood there telling me to punch him, which I gladly did. And I just kept dealing him blows, and I don't know what the point of that was, but I was crying and I was saying all this stuff that God wasn't to me and that he wasn't really there for me. And Mr. Hillard looks at me and he said in a firm voice, "Satan, be gone from this camp, leave my brother alone." And at that moment, I felt this like cold feeling in my spine, like this tingly feeling in my spine. And I fell down to my knees and I felt really empty and I felt all alone. And I was there on my knees and I was crying and I didn't really know what to do. And I woke up and started walking towards the cabin. And Mike was like, "Dean, what do you want to do?" And I was like, I don't know, I just want to be alone. So I sat there for a while. I cried, I prayed, I cried, I prayed till my eyes hurt and I couldn't pray anymore. And nothing happened. So I was like, I wasn't really expecting anything to happen because I prayed before and it didn't happen. So I was like, nothing was going to happen. Anyway, so I went to bed. And that night I'm sleeping and I hear my friends laugh and it's an audible voice. It's in a dream. They're not laughing outside because it's probably too late to be outside anyway. But they're laughing and I hear this stern voice and not a stern voice. Like it says they're all mine. They're mine, Dean. You're mine. They're all mine. And I got really scared because I knew who that was. And the next day, I didn't know how to tell my friends because most of them are in high spirits and they're having this experience and they're just having the time of their life and I didn't want to be the wet blanket and go tell them, "Oh, dude, guys, I had this dream and Satan spoke to me and you guys are basically here, so I'd stop trying to get up spiritually." So I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to tell them. So I just carried the burden in my heart the whole day. And that evening was the carpet testimony, and I was sitting there, and everyone went up except I was the guy sitting next to Joe, except me and Joe. And so I looked over and I smiled at Joe, and I was like, "You okay?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm fine." So I sat there. I was like, "Well, should I go up there and share? What should I share? God's not been there for me." But so I just sat there, and as everyone went and told their testimony, I started feeling the Spirit tug on me again, and I did what I always do. I just picked up my stuff and started leaving. And as I walked out of that place, I heard footsteps behind me again, but this time it was multiple footsteps. And I turned around and it was all my friends, all these guys, and they circled me and hugged me. And they're like, "Dean, we know what you're going through." And I do believe them because they're like me and they know what I've been going through. And they told me I just need to quit fighting. Yeah, I need to quit pushing God away. I just need to let him work in my life. And I started crying, and I knew all my friends were around me, but I couldn't feel them. I just felt someone bigger than them hug me, and I was like, I felt happy. I didn't feel empty anymore. And so I cried some more, and they finally left, and I was talking to one of the counselors, Chip Gowan, and I asked him if God could ever forgive me, and he just laughed and told me, "Dean, you have no idea." And he told me stuff in his life that he dealt with, and at that moment, I saw Joe run past us, and I was like, I think I need to go and talk to Joe. So I went up there, and I was talking to Joe, and I saw him take the can out of the car and check it in the forest, which is kind of illegal, we found that out. But he stood there, and we talked a little bit, and I felt higher, like my spirits were lifted up because he made a step in doing something that big. And so I was like, "Hey, if he can do that, then I mean, we can totally do this. There is hope for us." So I went back and talked to Chip Gunn some more. And then that night we had campfire. And after campfire, I told my friends to dream I had. And they all left and like, "Dean, that's the best. He ain't got us anymore. We're going to be stronger." And this time we got each other. And it made me really happy that, we actually were willing to change this time and actually change for the better for reals. And we actually did change.
Oh God, you are my.
My name is Gary Metzger, and I also went to Mammoth Camp. But my testimony started a little bit before that. Well, actually, like 9 months before that. But I won't go through all the 9 months because that would take a long time. But in the beginning of the year, and well, throughout all the year, I'd been going through lots of struggles and just a whole ton of distractions, and I wasn't really focused on God at all. I mean, I like every Christian person, like, you know what, I really want to serve God, but my actions didn't show it. You know, I had a little God here and there in my life to make myself feel better, but I wasn't being a real devoted Christian. Devoted Christian. But I don't know, just one night I was really tired of everything, and I just went to my last resort, God, and I prayed out my heart and just laid everything out for him, and I told him that I really wanted guidance, but I wanted it from like a specific person. Like, I didn't want it from family or close friends. I told him that I wanted it from a person who I didn't know very well and that I hardly ever talked to, so I knew it like actually meant something. And so like I prayed about that a couple nights, you know, tried to be diligent about it, but I forgot about it. And a couple months later, a friend of mine named Melody, she comes up to me and says, "Hey, Gary, a friend of mine, Anna needs to come talk to you." And I'm thinking, like, okay. So I go with her, and I go to Anna. And the first things that she said to me is like, "Gary, I know I don't know you very well and that we don't talk very much." And like right when she said that, I'm like, I think I know what this is about. She says, "I don't know, but I feel that God has impressed on my heart that I need to tell you this, that you need to throw it all away and come to him." And I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, well, thank you. And I kind of walked away, and I kind of thought about that the whole time. And I thought to myself, I'm like, what does this mean? I mean, I think I knew what it meant, but that wasn't going to happen because I didn't want it to happen. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to ignore it because I don't know what this means, which isn't very smart to disobey God, especially when you told him that you want guidance and he gives it to you and you're like, no, that's not it. But I don't know, I just kept on going to the school year, and then this summer I also went on Zions League Caravan and a couple of other Christian summer camps, and you know, my spirits were pretty high, but I was like always still struggling, and I wasn't ever like 100% focused on God. And Mammoth Camp came along, and you know, the first couple days they were great.
Oh, great.
You know, it was really fun, and I could tell that the camp was, like, up here, and, you know, I'm like, oh, I want to get up there, too, but I couldn't because I wasn't focused in the right areas, and I just had a whole ton of distractions in my life, and I don't know, one night, the night that everybody was feeling the Spirit, besides what it seemed like Dean and me, and I'm just like, wow, what is going on? Right now I know I should be feeling the Spirit. I want to feel the Spirit, but I know I can't because I'm not focused. So afterwards, you know, I really need to talk to somebody, and why not talk to your counselor, you know? And my counselor happened to be Micah Bates, who's an awesome guy and, you know, person who we all look up to. And I talked for him for a long time. In the grass and in a car, his van, actually. And I don't know, we talked about all sorts of things, but he really got through, he really helped me get through a lot of things. And the next day, I was like just having a whole ton of doubts again. And I'm like, no, I'm not gonna do all this. I'm okay. So I walked out of morning devotions, and I'm like, okay, I need some one-on-one time with God. I really need to feel the Spirit, you know. So I was going to go down to the morning devotions place. the amphitheater. I was going to go there, but there were some people there, and I'm like, okay, well, that stinks. Where's the next lake? Where's the next place I go to? Well, I'm at the Lake of the Ozarks, so I'm going to go down to the lake. So I go there, and you got to go down this steep, rocky slope. And I go down there, and I'm looking around for a good spot or whatever so I could talk to God. And I look over, and I see this Joseph Smith-looking grove. Like, if Joseph Smith was down in the Lake of the Ozarks, that's where he would have had the experience or whatever. So I go in there, I'm like, oh yeah, it's time to feel the Spirit, you know. So I go over there, and I just pour out my heart and soul to God, and cried a lot. And not because I was feeling the Spirit or anything, but just because I was being a baby. And I'm like, okay, still not feeling the Spirit. I don't know, maybe I'm not humble enough or whatever. So I get down on my knees and I just do everything all over again, maybe a little deeper, and nothing. And so I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, I thought if you came to Him in a broken and a contrite spirit that you could feel His presence or feel His love or something. And I'm like, I'm not feeling anything. So I guess I'll just go back to my normal ways and just live my life how I want to, and add a little God here and there. But I walk up the hill with that mindset, and Micah, he had been looking everywhere for me apparently, and why not find me at the last spot he looked? So, yeah. And we talked for a little bit, and he asked me if I was hungry. I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty hungry. So we started walking towards the dining hall, and not much further, he turns around and asks me, hey, Gary, do you want an administration? I'm like, can I have Jonah? And he's like, well, you can choose anybody you want. Well, who's in the priesthood, I think. Yeah. And the reason I wanted Jonah, well, not only because they're brothers and he's like really cool too, but earlier that week, they gave an administration to my brother because his back was giving him a ton of problems. And I was there too just because I wanted to be there for my brother. And Jonah and Micah, they both spoke under the Spirit, and I'm thinking, okay, here's my chance right now. I'm going to hear God talk to me, and I'm going to feel the Spirit. You know, I got the Bates boys with me. So we go back down the hill to the Joseph Smith-looking grove, and they start the administration, and Micah begins the prayers, and I'm trying to pray with them, you know, because that's what you're supposed to do. I'm thinking, okay, you know, just praying. His prayer's done. I'm like, oh, okay. So Jonah begins his prayer, and like halfway through it, I'm still just feeling absolutely nothing. And I'm thinking, well, this is really bad. I mean, I got like some of the most spiritually high people that I know right here, and I can't even feel his presence at all. And I was starting to lose hope and everything. And all of a sudden, I could tell that Jonah started speaking under the Spirit, because he said, Gary, my son, and Jonah's not my dad. So I'm like, boom, and just immediately, like, I was like, boom, flooded with a whole ton of love. And he spoke to me, and I don't really remember all the things. I mean, I wish I could have just like a recorder could pop up and go ching, so I could listen to it always or whatever. But he basically told me that I needed to follow the guidance that was given to me, and that I really just need to take away all the distractions, focus on Him, seek Him first. He'll provide everything. And just that I really needed to focus on Him. And after that, I don't know, I've taken out a whole ton of distractions that I thought I could never do. And now I have the support from my friends here and some more outside of these church walls, so praise God.
Thanksgiving. Opportunity to go to Mammoth Camp as well, but my testimony starts a few weeks before Mammoth Camp. I had gone to a different camp, and I had been a part of the camp choir that we had, and one of the songs we sang was Blessings by Laura Story, and I had heard that song several times on the radio, and I always thought that it was a really cool song, and at my dad's house, we had been having some troubles with grandma in the hospital, and we're trying to get her home, and she's not well enough to come home, and she's upset because she can't come home, and everything was just really stressful, and I was having a hard time feeling anything at all. And that whole week at that one camp, I didn't really feel the spirit, and I wasn't as prepared as I should have been. And then a few weeks later, well, I had decided that I wanted to sing Blessings at the talent show. And so for the next few weeks, I was praying, because last year I had wanted to sing something, but I chickened out like the last 2 days, and I didn't do anything at all. And well, I sang with a group of people instead of singing solo like I wanted to. But this year I was bound and determined. I said, I'm going to sing this song, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to be confident, and I was not at all. So I got the CD with the soundtrack on it, and I was all prepared and everything, except for the confidence. I was knocking knees whenever I was doing the audition, and I had been praying the whole time. I said, Lord, give me confidence, Lord, give me confidence, and it was just not coming. And I was upset, and I wasn't feeling the spirit at all for the first half of the week at Mammoth Camp. And the night of the talent show came, and there was like three people in front of me, and so I was sitting in the back, and I was freaking out, and I was not doing good at all. And anybody that saw me could tell I was nervous, because I was about to cry my eyes out. I was so scared. And gets to the last person in front of me, and I was still freaking out, and still deciding whether or not I was gonna chicken out. And Gary pulled me aside, and he grabbed my hands, and he said a prayer for me, and I was bawling my eyes out. I was so scared. And so he said, you're gonna do fine, just take a deep breath and walk up there and everything's gonna be okay. Well, I go up there, and I'm not exactly good in front of people. I get scared a lot. And so I went up there, and I just saw everybody out there, and in my head I was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna pass out. And I knew I had people on the sidelines praying for me, because they were people that I had asked to pray for me. And Justin started playing the song, and just a spirit of confidence overwhelmed me. And still not completely sure of myself, as I opened my mouth to say the first words, I was expecting a squeak. And it came out stronger than I thought it would. And another thing that I was worried about was breaking down in the middle of the song, because that song had been touching me so much. And the chorus of the song says, what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if the thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And then just basically, what if your mercies are off? No, I can't remember. See, I'm nervous. And then the last point, the part where I started to break down, I had looked out and I'd seen several of my cousins and family members crying. And it was, I was doing all I could not to break down, and the spirit was flooding me, and I was like, no, don't cry yet. I have like just a few more lines to go. And it came to the part, what if my greatest disappointments were the achings of this life? And I was overwhelmed, and I finished the song, and before the soundtrack could finish playing, I ran out because I couldn't stand it anymore. And 2 days before I went to camp, I had found out that my boss and a very important person in my life, she was like another mother to me, and she was my Sunday school teacher, and I learned so much from her, and she just touched everybody no matter where she went. I had found out that she had had a stroke. And then a few days into camp, the day before the talent show, I had found out that she had had another massive stroke. And it was going to take a very long time for her to recover, if she recovered at all. And as I was singing that song and I listened to those words, her face popped in my head. And I just felt an overwhelming love from the Lord. And on the last day of camp, when Dad came to pick me up, he said that he didn't want to tell me like that because he wanted to wait till it was more appropriate. But he had found out that I was on the prayer chain. My phone was on the prayer chain, and so I would get a text from Sally saying what had happened. And he didn't want me to find out that way either. So he pulled me out away from my friends to the car before he had told anybody else in my family. He told me that the night before, she had passed away. And I was torn up. I had been praying all week, saying, Lord, please heal her. I had the whole camp praying for her. Lord, please heal her, because I don't want to lose her yet. And to find out that she died, I just thought that my whole week had been wasted. And that all those prayers did nothing for me. So, we got in the car, and I got my phone back, and I got the text, which just brought on a whole other bunch of tears, and I was crying half the way home. I was completely, completely destroyed by that. I was so upset. I called Mom and bawled again on the phone, and, as we pulled out of the campsite, Dad turned on the radio, and the song Blessings by Laura Story came on. And I reached over and I turned it up, and I was still bawling, but for a different reason, because I knew that she was in a place that she was supposed to be, and I knew it was going to be hard over the next few weeks. And that just because I felt happy in that moment didn't mean that I was going to feel happy the whole time, because it was difficult and I did miss her. But every time I hear that song on the radio, I get texts from several people at camp saying, hey, turn on the radio, your song's on. And that song changed my life, and I know that she is in a better place, and that she's watching over us, watching over me, and I get so much peace knowing that she's with my father, and that she's not in pain anymore.
You are Lord, my heart. Hi, my name's Josh Pedersen, and I went to Mammoth Camp too. I've already shared my my big Mammoth testimony with a lot of people, so I'm just going to share another one. And if you haven't heard that, if you want to, you can talk to me after the service or something, because I'd love to share it again. But I work at a UPS in Lenexa, Kansas, and I happen to see a whole lot of people throughout my 8-hour shift. And occasionally I get put up at the guard shack where all the employees come in. And I decided, you know, maybe I should read my scriptures. So I would read it on break, and then I saw Joe one night reading his up at the gate, and I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. Maybe I should do that. So I started doing it, and people would, you know, comment like, oh yeah, like, where are you reading at? You know, what you reading? And, you know, occasionally the topic of my church would come up, and I'm kind of, you know, a little sketchy just because people would be like, oh, you're a Mormon. I don't want to talk to you. And so I was real kind of concerned with that. Like, I didn't want to offend anyone and then not have any friends at UPS, even though they're not really my friends. I just check them for phones. So I read my scriptures, and then one morning I was, I worked overtime. I was reading my scriptures, and this guy started talking to me about my church, and I said I went to the Reorganized Latter-day Saints because I didn't want to explain the break off and everything. And so he goes, wait, Latter-day Saints, you know, you must be a Mormon, right? I was like, no, I mean, we're kind of close, but we're not exactly. And he's like, so you believe in the Book of Mormon? I was like, oh, yeah. So we had a mildly heated discussion for the next 45 minutes. And for some reason, I was completely at peace, and I wasn't flustered. And I mean, I was able to stay calm and not, like, freak out or just get mad and say, you know, I'm tired of this. And the whole argument, I was like, all right, God, you know, give me some ammo because I'm on E. And so I would just slowly, things would come to mind. And I'm working on helping out the Santa Calgon booth for the Book of Mormon. And I was like, well, if I can't even talk to this guy that I see every day, like, what am I going to do when some big old biker guy comes up to me at Santa Calgon? And so I was a little distraught, because after the conversation, I was like, you know, God, where were you? Like, you kind of left me hanging a little bit there. And after that, I had received a letter from my pastor with a list of scriptures to kind of study, and I'd lost it like a couple of years ago. And I was just kind of defeatedly thumbing through my things, and I found this list of scriptures, and I was like, oh, well, you know, that's pretty cool. And they had lists from the Doctrine and Covenants, the Book of Mormon, and the Bible. And so I felt really comfortable reading the Bible ones at work, and I wasn't too comfortable reading the Book of Mormon or the Doctrine and Covenants at work. And so I'd read my Book of Mormon in my car when I was on break, and I wouldn't bring it in. And I was kind of skittishly reading Matthew one day, just because I didn't want another confrontation, if you will. And I was just like, you know, I'm sorry, God, I'm just a little scared of this one. And as soon as I say that, this guy walks through the door, reading the Book of Mormon at 12:30 at night? What are you thinking? I just was like, man, I mean, I'm reading the scriptures. What's going on? And he apparently was part of the schools that knew CBRS and didn't like us because of our beliefs. So he had some ammo against us. So he was in a hurry, so we didn't talk very long. And so I was like, okay, I guess I can take a hint. So I started reading my Doctrine and Covenants, and another guy walks through, and he's like, oh, you're reading the scriptures? Or reading the Bible? I was like, no, book's similar. He's like, oh, you're reading the Book of Mormon, aren't you? I was like, man, like, how has this always come up? And so I kind of explained it to him a little bit, and then just kind of, he went on his way. And I had, at Mammoth Camp, I had been administered to, because I was kind of scared about not staying changed this time. And the people administering to me told me that if I study and try to put myself in God's work every day, nothing can bring me down. And I had gotten to a point where I'd stopped reading every day, and I'd stopped praying, and I went from, well, like, just huge camp experience to, I mean, almost like valley. Like, I didn't go back to the terrible things I was doing, but I mean, I was still a pretty low guy, and I was just like, man, you know, what am I doing? I'm a terrible person right now. And for some reason, it was a Sunday, so I decided that I'll read my scriptures because it's Sunday today. And I turned to a section 38, where it says, I know the hearts of all men, and you're guilty, but through my mercy, you're healed and forgiven. And it just, like, that floored me, because that was exactly what I needed to hear and exactly what I needed to feel. And it was just really cool that even though I had tasted of the good water and walked away, God keeps continually just filling me back up and saying, dude, I got you. It was very nice.
Coming back to claim his.
an awesome God we worship. Thank you guys for coming tonight, ministering to us, for that is what you've done. I would encourage you, if you haven't done it, to write down these testimonies, because time has a way of dulling the details, and those are some powerful testimonies that you guys have experienced, and the Lord obviously has a work for you guys to do, if you'll accept, continue on your path. Don't worry about the things you've done in the past. I stand here as a testimony to you that God can forgive you for anything, and He can use you no matter what you've done and where you've been. And Dean, you can't run fast enough, brother. You can't run away from Him. Trust me, I spent years of my life doing the same thing. And as soon as I was ready, I turned around, He was right there. You're not going to get away. Just remember that. He's always there for you. And He loves you guys. Let us close with hymn 7, second verse. And then Brother Josh is going to offer some prayer. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings you've given us, and that you've worked in the hearts of each and every one of us, whether we've noticed it or not. And thank you for the weather you've given us, and that it's cooled down somewhat lately. And just help us to all have our safe travels home and be able to stay focused on you throughout the week. And just help us to be able to be the people you've called us to be, and to bring forth Zion. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
You guys come from my house when you leave. You don't get a minute.